Stories of Journey to the West, Chapter 16.
Today we're jumping into a classic, a really fascinating piece of Journey to the West.
That's right. Chapter 16, the part about the Guanyin Monastery and the, well, the trouble with the cassock.
Exactly. The monks of Guanyin Monastery plot for the treasure. The Black Wind Mountain Demon steals the cassock. Quite a title.
It really sets the stage. You've got Teng Sanzang, the monk, and his very famous disciple, Sun Wukong.
The Monkey King, yeah.
Yeah.
For anyone maybe less familiar, Teng Sanzang's on this huge quest for scriptures. Wukong's his, let's say, powerhouse protector.
And the setup is just so tranquil at first. They arrive as night's falling, looking for a place to stay.
Yeah, the text paints this amazing picture, doesn't it? Layered buildings, fancy architecture.
Auspicious clouds, red mist swirling. It sounds incredibly serene and, well, holy.
Right. Okay, let's get into those first interactions. The monks see Wukong, and they're a bit taken aback.
Oh, definitely. They're surprised, maybe even a little fear. He doesn't look like your typical pilgrim.
Right, he's not human.
Exactly. They whisper about him kind of nervously. Teng Sanzang has to shush them gently.
Doesn't want Wukong getting offended. Smart move.
Then comes the old master. And wow, what an entrance.
He's decked out, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jeweled hat, fancy robes, staff.
Looks the part of the wise old sage. Absolutely. Very venerable.
But maybe a bit too much. Hints of worldly attachment there.
Perhaps. And then he claims he's 270 years old.
Which Wukong immediately calls out under his breath.
Haha, yeah. Teng Sanzang hushes him again. So after the age jokes.
Things shift a bit. They get served tea, but it's fancy tea. Jade platters, gold-rimmed enamel cups. Real luxury.
Huh, in a monastery.
Exactly. Bit of a contrast. It's a great little moment.
Yeah.
Shows that outward appearance, even piety, might not be the whole story.
Oh.
Something we still see today, right? People
yeah.
projecting an image.
Absolutely. So after the tea ceremony, the niceties.
The old master gets down to it. He admires Teng Sanzang's stuff
yeah.
and asks pretty directly, got any treasures from the east?
Bit forward, maybe?
A little. Mm-hmm. Teng Sanzang tries to brush it off. Oh, nothing valuable.
But then Wukong jumps in, impulsive as ever. Hey, what about the cassock?
Ah, the fateful suggestion. And the other monks. They kind of scoff, don't they?
Yeah, they're like, a robe! That's your treasure!
The abbot starts bragging.
Oh, we've got tons of robes. Dozens each. The master has like 700 or 800.
It's pure one-upmanship, showing off their material wealth.
Which kind of suggests their focus isn't purely spiritual, maybe.
Seems that way. It's all about accumulation.
Yeah.
Which sets up their reaction perfectly.
Because then they do show off their collection. 12 cabinets full.
Silk, satin, embroidery. It's an excessive display, meant to impress, no doubt.
And Teng Sanzang sees them. He actually warns Wukong, greedy and treacherous people, the untrustworthy type. Seeing valuable stuff will definitely stir their hearts, you know, ignite that desire, that greed.
Okay, so seeing it is the trigger.
Precisely. And once that desire is lit, he continues, they'll
start scheming.
Exactly. They will surely devise plans to seize the items, to get their hands on them somehow. It's cause and effect for him.
And he paints a pretty grim picture of what happens next, doesn't he?
He does. He basically outlines two outcomes. If you possess the item and fear the greedy person.
Yeah. What are they?
One option is, well, you just let him take it. You give it up to avoid conflict.
Not ideal. And the other?
The other is much worse. It's risking.
That sounds serious.
It is. It means the calamity of being killed. So showing the item could literally cost you your life. He's saying, look, this happens all the time. You have to be careful.
He says, basically, dude, showing fancy things to greedy people, bad idea. He knows.
Oh, Wukong. He's just like, nah, it's fine. What could happen? I can handle it.
Famous last words.
And then Teng Sanzang's cassock is revealed.
And the description just shifts entirely. This thing is otherworldly.
Right. 1,000 ingenious pearls, 10,000 rare Buddhist treasures.
Dragon whiskers, brocade trim.
Uh-huh.
It actually glows. Radiant light, colorful aura.
The text even has a verse about its sacred power. This is clearly something special.
It signifies immense spiritual value, maybe even political clout in the story's world. It's not just fancy cloth. No wonder the old master's instantly obsessed.
He pulls, oh, my old eyes can't see it well in this light routine.
Classic. Let me just take it to my room overnight for a closer look.
Yeah, red flags everywhere.
Then comes Sun Wukong. How does he react?
He just says, Fengxin, du zai lao, Sun Shincheng.
Don't worry. And the second part.
Everything is on old Sun's body, meaning like, I've got this covered, it's all on me, no problem.
So just complete confidence, almost dismissive of the danger.
Absolutely. Zero concern expressed. It's pure self-assurance.
That confidence is exactly what lets the old master get his hands on it.
And once he has it alone, the facade drops completely.
He starts weeping.
Weeping, not with joy, but lamenting that he doesn't own something so magnificent. The desire, the covetousness, it's just overwhelming him.
It's not just appreciation anymore. It's, I must possess this.
Exactly. That wanting turns really ugly, really fast.
Because then one of the younger monks, Guangzi, pipes up with a suggestion.
And it's horrifying. Just murder them.
Kill Tang Sanzang and Wukong. Bury the bodies, take the horse, the luggage.
And keep the cassock like a family heirloom. The coldness is chilling.
Utter depravity. And the old master's reaction.
He loves the idea. Enthusiastically approves. His greed has just wiped out any morality.
Wow. But wait, there's another monk, Guangmu. He has a different idea.
Sort of. Plan B, arson.
Arson?
Yeah, burn down the wing they're sleeping in, make it look like an accident. They still get the cassock, but maybe with less direct blood on their hands.
And the other monks like this plan even better.
Even more enthusiastic. It's crazy. They immediately start gathering firewood.
Stacking it up around the meditation hall where Tang Sanzang and Wukong are resting.
It just shows how quickly that desire spiraled. From admiration to murder plot to arson conspiracy in like no time at all.
Just terrifying.
Yeah.
But luckily for them, Wukong isn't just any guest.
Not even close. He's naturally vigilant even when sleeping. He senses something's wrong.
Hears the rustling, the movement outside. Knows it's not good.
But he's also thinking about Tang Sanzang, right? His master wouldn't approve if he just went out and, you know, slaughtered a bunch of monks.
Right. That would cause problems.
Yeah.
So he needs a different approach.
Wukong's speciality. Transformation time.
Into a bee.
A tiny bee slips out to investigate without anyone noticing. The text even describes the bee mouth sweet, tail poisonous. Kind of sums up Wukong sometimes.
Huh. True. So as a bee, he sees everything.
Sees them piling the firewood, getting ready to light it, confirms their plan.
Okay, so now he knows for sure, but still the dilemma, punish them, but don't get blamed by the master.
So he gets creative. Borrows a tactic, you could say.
He goes,
oh.
Straight up, flies to the southern gate of heaven.
Who does he need to see?
Heavenly King Guangmu. He needs a specific item. A fire-repelling cover.
A fire-repelling cover. Not like heavenly water cannons.
That's what the Heavenly King asks. Why not water?
So why the cover?
Wukong explains, he doesn't want to put out the fire completely. He wants the monks to face the consequences, wants the monastery to burn.
Who needs to protect Tang Sanzang and their stuff? Exactly. Clever, if a bit destructive. The Heavenly King kind of sighs, but lends him the cover.
So Wukong zips back down, uses the cover on Tang Sanzang, the horse, the luggage. They're safe. But Sun Wukong's focus is making sure the area with the cassock doesn't get completely destroyed while letting the rest burn.
He helps the fire along.
Helps it.
Fans the flames, but directs them away from his master and towards the rest of the monastery buildings.
Oh, cheeky. So he makes sure the place really goes up in smoke.
Absolutely. The description is intense black smoke, leaping flames, total chaos. The monks are panicking.
And right in the middle of all this mayhem.
Enter the demon from Blackwind Mountain.
Talk about timing. What's his deal?
He just lives nearby, sees the glow, thinks, huh, big fire, maybe I should help.
A helpful demon, seriously.
Ironic, isn't it? But that thought lasts about 2 seconds.
Why? What happens?
As he gets closer, checking things out, he spots it through the flames in the old master's quarters.
The cassock, just sitting there unguarded in the chaos.
Bingo. The text literally says, wealth stirs people's hearts, or demons' hearts in this case.
So much for being a good Samaritan.
He grabs the cassock and vanishes into the night. Pure opportunism.
Wow. So the monk's plot completely backfired. They burned down their home and lost the treasure anyway.
To a random demon who just happened to be passing by. Poetic justice, maybe?
Definitely ironic.
Hmm.
So what happens next? The fire burns out.
Eventually. Leaves the monastery in ruins. Just ashes. The monks are devastated, obviously. Lost everything.
And Wukong.
He calmly returns the fire-repelling cover to heaven. Has a little back and forth with the Heavenly King about borrowing celestial gear.
Sounds about right for him.
Then he goes back to Tang Sanzang, who's still fast asleep.
Wukong wakes up the Tang monk, and the monk looks around and is just stunned. The temple buildings. Gone. Just burnt walls left.
Oh, total shock. He's bewildered, asking how everything could have just vanished like that.
And Wukong's response is almost casual. Oh, there was a fire last night.
It's quite the contrast. The monk is horrified trying to process it, and Wukong seems almost unfazed. He claims the monks intended to kill them.
To steal their kaya, the special monk's robe. Motivated purely by greed, according to Wukong.
And get this. He says he didn't just let it burn, he actually helped the fire along, used his powers to make the wind blow stronger.
Wow. That's not just self-defense, that's almost like a preemptive payback.
He even quotes a proverb to justify it. Something like, if people don't try to harm the tiger won't harm people. Basically, they started it with their bad intentions.
It's a very direct, almost brutal kind of logic.
And the Tang monk is absolutely horrified. He cries out, you know, heavens, when there's a fire you help with water, how could you possibly help with wind?
That really throws their different worldviews into sharp relief, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Compassion versus, well, Wukong's brand of justice.
A fundamental clash. Mercy versus retribution. It's a theme that pops up again and again on their journey.
So, okay, the temple's mostly ashes. The monk's first thought naturally goes to that kaya. It's clearly important.
Oh, hugely important. It's not just clothing. It's a symbol of his mission, his spiritual authority. Losing it would be a massive blow.
So they head back to find the surviving monks. Mm-hmm. And the monk's reaction is, well, it's quite something.
Pure terror. They see Tripitaka and Wukong emerge from the smoke and ruins, and they immediately assume.
Ghosts. Vengeful spirits. They literally scream, the avenging ghosts are here for us.
You can just picture the scene, right? Chaos, their own guilt makes them see phantoms.
And Wukong just cuts right through it. Typical Wukong. Give us back the robe, blunt as ever.
And the monks, panicked, immediately start pointing fingers. It was Guangmu. It was the old abbot. They planned it.
Classic passing the buck. What does that tell you about the vibe in that temple community?
Not great, right? So just a lot of fear, maybe infighting, self-preservation kicking in hard, no real unity there.
Interestingly, some monks are still trying to make sense of it. They actually ask if Tripitaka and Wukong are even real, like human, given they supposedly survived that inferno.
It's a logical question from their terrified perspective, I suppose.
And Wukong's response?
Yeah.
Pure bravado. He just tells them, go look, go see the meditation hall for yourselves, then come talk.
Putting the proof right in front of them?
Yeah.
A clever move.
So the monks creep out, check the front, and there it is, the meditation hall, completely untouched.
Imagine that moment. Disbelief, then dawning horror, maybe? Realization?
Yeah, the penny drops. These aren't just regular travelers. They have some kind of serious power.
And the fear shifts, doesn't it? From fear of ghosts to, like, awe and terror of these divine beings.
They immediately start calling the Tang monk a divine monk. And Wukong, his protector.
Yeah.
And then the confession comes pouring out.
Right. The kaya isn't here. It's with their oldest ancestral teacher, the old head abbot, back in his private quarters.
So they lead them through the wreckage. That image must be powerful walking through devastation to this one untouched area.
Really highlights Wukong's calculated actions, yeah. And when they get there, some other monks are already spilling the beans to the old abbot.
Telling him, hey, that monk survived the fire. He's divine. And maybe our stuff is next. Priorities, right?
The news just breaks him. The old abbot, overwhelmed by the failure of his plan, the loss of the robe he craved, the fear, he does something drastic.
He bangs his head against the wall and dies just like that.
It's abrupt, shocking, really, a very direct consequence of his greed and plotting.
And the text even includes a little poem there, doesn't it? Basically calling him a fool for grasping at things like that.
Yeah, sort of commentary on the self-destructive nature of that kind of greed. Grasping at what's easily gained is surely the path to desolate failure. Powerful stuff.
So, okay, dead abbot, chaos.
Yeah.
But still no kaya.
Right. The other monks are freaking out, obviously. Dead leader, missing priceless robe. But Wukong, he's not buying it entirely.
Still suspicious. Thinks maybe these other monks are hiding it.
So he demands a full list. Everyone in the temple. And it's a long list.
How many was it? Like 230 people. Monks, novices, the works.
230. And Wukong starts searching everything. Meticulously. Even stuff they moved out of other rooms. He is not messing around.
Leaving no stone unturned. But the Tang monk, his patience is wearing incredibly thin. This is delaying their whole pilgrimage.
And he knows how to get Wukong's attention, doesn't he? He uses the mantra.
Oof. We don't know the words, but we know the effect. Instant blinding headache for Wukong.
Shows you the power dynamic. Despite Wukong's strength, he's still bound to the monk.
Wukong just collapses, right? begging him to stop, promising he'll find the robe, just make the pain stop.
And the other monks witnessing this, they're even more terrified now. They rush to calm the Tang monk down, insisting, no, no, it's the old habit. He was obsessed. He must have hidden it.
So Wukong, probably still nursing that headache, gets back to it. Renewed urgency.
He searches the abbot's body, digs up his quarters. Nothing. The Kaya is just gone.
This is when he starts thinking bigger picture. Outside the temple walls.
Asks the crucial question. Any monsters nearby?
And bang, the temple administrator pipes up. Well, there's Black Wind Mountain and a demon king in the Black Wind Cave.
And oh yeah, he used to hang out with the old abbot sometimes. Convenient.
Very convenient. It's about 20 light away, apparently. Southeast.
And Wukong's mind just goes, click, the fire. It was huge, bright. That demon must have seen it from the mountain.
Saw the commotion, figured something valuable might be up for grabs, and swooped in during the chaos to steal the robe. Makes sense, in a Wukong kind of way.
The Tang monk is a bit skeptical, though. 20 lithe. That's pretty far to see a fire and react.
But Wukong argues this wasn't just any fire. This was, like, supernaturally bright, visible for ages. The demon saw his chance.
Seems plausible enough for Wukong, so he decides that's where he needs to go. Black Wind Mountain.
Naturally, the Tang monk gets anxious. You're leaving me here with them after everything that just happened.
Wukong reassures him, divine protection, but then lays down the law for the remaining monks.
Very specific instructions. Bury the old abbot properly. Serve the Tang monk perfectly. Don't mess up. And
take really good care of the white horse. Crucial detail.
And just to make sure they understand he's serious.
Wham. He smashes down a few walls with his staff. Just a little demonstration.
Subtle. I bet they got the message loud and clear after that.
Oh, absolutely. Terrified promises all around, I'm sure.
And with that, Wukong hops on his cloud and zooms off towards Black Wind Mountain.
Leaving us with another poem summarizing the whole mess, the journey, the jealous monks, the fire, and now the black bear demon suspected of stealing the robe.
In a total cliffhanger. Will they get the Kaya back?